This is Mark Steiner. Welcome back. And that was Lou Reed. I'm waiting for my man. He passed away this weekend, and one of the leading figures in rock and roll. We pay our respects to him today. And here's some of the music of other folks who were born on this day in our breaks as well. I'll remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com, or you can log on to steinershow.org. There are banners there. All the information is there for MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. We're going to take a look at school construction. We had many debates in the show about it coming up. We want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. We have the school system on, some other folks as well who have called in to talk about the construction and what is happening. And this is was a huge battle, as you remember, in the state legislature. There's money coming to Baltimore. The support of the Montgomery County delegation had a lot to do with this coming to pass in the state legislature. The fighting here, the support from the community here in Baltimore, pushing for this as well. The then CEO of our city schools, Andres Alonso, was instrumental in making this happen, and it's huge. It could be huge. We'll see, talk about how huge it is and what it means for all of us. We're here with Michael Sarbanes, who is Executive Director of the Office of Engagement for Baltimore City Schools. And Michael, good to have you in the studio.
Great to be here, Mark.
It was good to run into you that night at Jan Hubold's thing and have you here on the show today. Timothy Byrd is with us. He's a parent at Dr. Rainer Brown Elementary School, who's part of the design team for Fort Worthington Elementary. Good to have you in the studio with us, Mr. Byrd.
Happy to be here with you.
Frank Patinello is with us, educational advocate for the American Civil Liberties Union, representative for the Baltimore Education Coalition, who is usually a thorn, but now he's acting more like a rose here. I'm just teasing, in terms of really pushing this effort, which is great. By thorn, I mean in a positive sense, a pushing for great social change in our community. And actually, Mel Freeman called in, who is the executive director of the Citizens Planning and Housing Association, who's very deeply involved in this. And Mel, good to have you with us, too.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, panel.
Good morning, Mark. Morning.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. How is this affecting your community, your school? What are your thoughts and questions? Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. I'll be checking those as well. Tweet to me, at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. But, Michael, let me let you start.
Right. So we're at a really exciting place in this process. As you pointed out, there was a really enormous mobilization around making this happen. There was a successful passage of legislation so that we're now – this will be the single biggest investment in neighborhoods and in schools in the city's history. And the process is actually underway, and it's been very moving in some of the sessions that we've been doing with school communities. You'll get people that will sit there for a while, and then they'll, you know, at some point they raise their hands and they say, I can't believe this is really happening, that we're actually really doing this for our children. So that's beginning now in the first set of schools. One of the things that is really exciting about it and challenging about it is that we're trying to be very clear that this is more than just renewing a building. It's not just about the building. It's about transforming what's happening in terms of instruction, how teaching and learning is happening, really preparing our children for the 21st century that we're in. And it's about transforming the relationship of the schools to communities so that the school really does become a hub and an asset in the community. So that work is now underway, and we have an expo coming up on Saturday, which we really want everyone who's interested to come to here at Morgan from 8:30 to 3. And that's really a chance to get in one day to help people wrap their minds around all the different dimensions of what goes into these school buildings and the potential and the challenges and the exciting kind of puzzles that have to be figured out.
So, Mel, before you have to run, I know you had some issues you wanted to raise, but why don't you do that now? Mel? We're having that, Mel Freeman? We're having a phone issue? Mel, you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. So you had before you have to run, I know you had some issues you wanted to raise or an issue you wanted to raise around this, some questions. Please lay them out for us.
Well, Michael has presented or I echo Michael's response that this is probably one of the greatest opportunities for the city, getting this chance to really make our our schools, Class A schools, 20th century schools throughout the nation, 21st century schools throughout the nation. And to be focused on the education, the teaching, the learning, and the relationships, we're still just sort of one step behind, and that's connecting to the actual neighborhoods themselves. All these schools are going to be a great asset for many of our different neighborhoods. You mentioned there's someone there from Fort Worthington. That's really exciting. Berea's been a really great community association over there. The folks in Res Hill, John Eager Howard, they are thoroughly engaged in their school and the various meetings that have happened so far. But then there are other neighborhoods that have some schools that are slated for years one and two that are not really getting the information about when and where the meetings are. I'm pretty sure Mary Rodman has a really great citizen-based group there that showed up for their rec center last year. My question is, how well have they been engaged in their meetings for that school? And these relationships with the neighborhoods are critical. There are lots of things that are happening on those four, you know, if you pictured a school and its four walls, or the school and it's the block that it's on, you know, there are neighboring community blocks that are facing the school that have to be with the school for the next 20 or 30 years. They're not just the parents that are going to be in that school for 5 or 6 years. And I really want to make sure that we are going to be reaching out to community associations, the volunteer groups, all the groups that are in those neighborhoods that need to be at these very same meetings that the parents are at right now. We don't want to assume that just because we have parents that they're actually from the neighborhoods themselves. And the neighborhoods themselves are the ones that are going to be providing the greatest support and be really engaged into what that school is going to look like, how it's going to function, what the community spaces are going to be used for. If anything, the students are a great addition, but they're essentially temporary compared to the residents that are living there. And this school can make a vast difference in their neighborhoods, and that's what we're really hoping to sort of heighten that awareness about it and making the school the true centerpiece of a neighborhood. And we want to make sure neighborhoods are involved in that.
Yeah, and it's a very important point. When we talk about school communities being involved in this design process, and there's lots of opportunities for that engagement, we mean the school community being not just the staff, parents, students in the school, but also the surrounding community, neighborhood associations, and so forth. So that's been part of the outreach. And Mel, anything that CPHA can do to help get the word out and spread the word and get people into those meetings would be terrific. We're doing everything we can to try to spread the word. Mary Rodman, you mentioned specifically, they have not yet begun their process. That'll probably start in the beginning of the new year. But part of what we try to do in each of these meetings is make sure that there's a representation from all the different stakeholders, including communities, because these are critical assets in communities, and the communities are critical assets to schools. So that's part of what we're trying to do. It's part of the design. We also have in the design process a community partnership work group that's looking at what are the assets in the community, what are the needs in the community, and how can those assets be brought to the school, and how can those needs be met by how the school interacts and how the space is used. So we want everybody to be involved, and any help that CPHA can provide in doing that, we'd love to have you be a partner in that.
We would love to. The panel you just mentioned, though, is that the one where there's a student, a parent, a teacher?
No, that's a different panel. So there's a part of what we're trying to do in this is there's a lot of decisions that have to be made at the school level that are very detailed about the arrangement of space, the arrangement of classrooms, the connections of where the teacher's instructional space is relative to where the support space for teachers and the common shared places. So there's a lot of those details to be worked through, and there's a design team that includes parent, community partner, teachers, principal, and we're the architects and district office staff that's going to be working through that. There's also a whole dimension of this, as I was saying, that's about the partnerships that end up being in the school and then end up having the space be used to really be a support to the community and have the community be a support to the school. So there's also a community partnerships work group, and that's where we really try. We think there's going to be a lot of interest from community associations in being part of that. And that's something that's really open in terms of anyone who's interested in participating at each school. And that's what we're really trying to recruit people for that.
Frank?
Yes. I think what Mel is asking is for – well, let me first say, I think what Michael is asking is that you know, community groups have to come to the table. And I think Mel and I'm working with the Transform Baltimore campaign, the Baltimore Education Coalition. We're very much engaged in the work now. There's a lot of parents and students and some community groups involved, but there's this historic kind of divide between community associations and community groups and the school. So I think now is the opportunity to reform that relationship and reinvent it going forward. But Mel is right. You know, I went to a meeting at Coppin Heights CDC, and no one knew what was going on. And they were largely not involved with the passing of the bill. But now they've recognized the opportunity is before them, and they have to get involved. So,
Mr. Byrd, how do you see it in terms of community engagement?
The way I'm looking at it right now, right, is the information that we're receiving, you know, even though we have a lot of parent participation, we have community involvement, it's kind of like children growing up. You're either ready for the meat, you want the formula, or you're at the stage where you want the milk, right? You know, and that may be something that we take from the biblical side of me, you know. But at the same time, we do have a lot of individuals who are now coming to the plate. They're aware of what's going on. And the more we get out there and the more we filter that information down to the communities, the more participation that we'll be able to get. You know, that was one of the things I was talking to Mr. Terrell Williams about, right, was getting involved in the community so that we can get them stirred up and let them know this is what's coming, this is what we want, and this is what we need, you know. The schools, as we're looking at it right now, I think when we had Fort Worthington was one of the things we'll be talking about, right, for the next 20, not just the next 20 years, right, but for the next 40 years, is being so actively involved in the community that you're not just worrying about the educational portion of it, right, to your students, right, but that you're also looking at the social things that can be done within the community, right, through the school, the building itself, right, mm-hmm. and things that are available for that particular community. And that's one of the things that we really don't have a lot of. We don't have a lot of the recreational centers, right? And once the schools are closed in the evening, right, especially those schools that we have the after-school programs in, right, that's it. Schools are shut down. They're being cleaned up. And it's just a building sitting there, right? We have kids that are saying, where do I go now? You know? For some of the children in the Baltimore City arena, right, school is the only haven that they have. You know? For others, we have other activities for them, right? You know, and those are things that we need to look at. We need to look at what that school building is going to do for the next 40 years.
So when we say that, I mean, am I wrong in saying that there's only money for the next couple of years, and that if you're a year school one, if you're around one school now, all the systems start to 2015, right?
There's two pieces to it. So one is that we have the money that we got from the legislature this last time, with tremendous support from our state delegation, the governor, the mayor, really, and all this community support to do it, is not going to do all of our building. It's going to be an initial chunk. We're going to have to go back and get more to be able to finish it off. But we have to get this first set of schools. We got to do it right, and we have to really make that work. So that's kind of the timetable for it. It takes a long time to design and to build a school. So we start off now with the first set of schools, and we're just beginning. Over the summer with orienting them to what is the design process. And then we've been having in the last month or so visioning sessions where people get to come together and really talk about what's their vision for the school, what is their vision for how the school relates to its community, and what are the possible ways that the space looks. The architects will come back and say, here are some different options on that. And then there's a whole very detailed design process that ends probably in 2015. In the summer of 2015, and then we go into construction probably towards the late 2015, and the school should be opening in time for the school year 2017 in this first round of schools, the first year, what we call year one schools, and there's about a dozen of them.
So, and Mel, do you have anything you want to add before you have to run?
Yeah, it's been really great that these first year one and two are off and running, because we've got to catch a calendar that's running really fast or a train that's moving really fast. But we've really got to take the time to really dig deep in some of these neighborhoods to get them to the meetings. We're all prepared for being around for years 3 through 10, but it's years 1 and 2 that are already moving, and we just want to get the right people to the table. Another point that was just mentioned ago is, you know, the school could be the centerpiece for a neighborhood, or the school could be just another asset for a community that's already in a great stage of, you know, a strong neighborhood. These schools have to be more than just thinking about a rec center or a business that's going to go in that community space. There are more opportunities. There's opportunities to have expanded senior programs. There's opportunities to have daycare programs. There's opportunities for this new school option to be a centerpiece for the neighborhood and for it to be used more than just, as the gentleman mentioned, from 9 to 5 or 9 to 3. And only by getting the folks to the table are going to make that really a great gem in the neighborhood.
Mel, I'm glad you joined us. Appreciate you getting your always your presence on the show. It always adds a lot to the conversation. But there was something that was brought up to us in an email that something says this, some things are great here, but some don't make sense. It was brought up that Augusta Fell Savage Institute for Visual Arts High School, we had their students on here the other week, is in West Baltimore is a number one school, or a year one school, I should say, but that the middle school in the same building is a year 4 or 5 school. So does that mean only half of it is going to be renovated and the rest is not? And some people are arguing, does that make any logical sense?
You know, that, when you start getting into the specific things, it gets complicated. There are two separate buildings there. The Augusta Fell Savage and Baltimore Talent Development currently share a single building, high school building. That was in year one, but then there's it's sort of in a deferred mode because the idea was that there would be one school. There's still both schools that are in that located in that building, so that one's on a somewhat slower track. When we're looking at a campus that has multiple buildings on it, sometimes you have actually separate schools. Sometimes you have schools that are sharing a building. Obviously, if you're sharing a building, you want to do it all at the same time. But there are some campuses where you have different schools and they have different needs and they're at different places in the plan because there were a lot of factors that went into figuring out how to prioritize and what year things would have. And it gets into details. I'd be happy to talk to anybody about any specific one.
So one of the things I got to comment on also is this, there's some issues that were just raised and I just want to raise them to you all. The memorandum of understanding between the school system, state, and the stadium authority, that was really concluded before any public input was involved. So, and I think some people, because of the kind of past history, are a little concerned about that. I don't think the ACLU was involved in that, those negotiations either. And so how is that affecting the kind of list of schools that are being done first and where? And B, what some people have written to me being concerned about is one of the things that was touted, this would be jobs for Baltimore for parents. But the Stadium Authority very clearly said earlier, if they're running things, they're not going to be at all concerned about where the construction comes from, whether it's Texas, New Jersey, or Washington State. And what's that going to do for the masses of unemployed people in this town with skills who could have jobs doing construction?
But there were groups that actually did provide input to the MOU as it was being developed. They were, you know, those negotiations were happening behind closed doors and in rooms that we weren't invited to, but the ACLU, other groups made sure that they got their input in. One thing that we were able to get was open meetings. The executive committee, we wanted a high level of transparency and accountability, and we wanted to know where and how the money is being spent. That's just the priority for the Baltimore Education Coalition, the Transform Baltimore campaign, and the ACLU. So we're happy that that happened. Also, you know, there's a coordinating committee on community and economic development, so ensuring that the city departments and the mayor's office is involved in the school construction process and seeing what is possible around the school in terms of further investments to improve the neighborhood, and regular reporting from the executive committee. But
and then on the jobs piece, which is obviously an important question and a lot of details to be worked out, what the MOU calls for is there's a working group that it sets up that's supposed to report back to all the four members of the signatories of the MOU with a specific plan, and the Mayor's Office of Employment Development provides the coordination and the staff support to that to come back with a very detailed plan about how to maximize the impact in terms of local jobs. But there's still a lot of details to be figured out on that.
Yeah, there are. That's one of the reasons I raised the issue because, I mean,
which is one of the reasons why it's really important, right, that when we hold, you know, our meetings, you know, and some of the activities that parents and those stakeholders that have something, you know, that they need to know, they need to come out then to start getting the information, right? You know, because one of the things that I've seen, and I've been around for a long while. I have children from 40-some years old right down to 7. And when you've been around school systems that long, right, you know, you see so many changes. But what happens when the changes come up is once everything's done, then we want to say what we should have done. It's not at the end when we say what we should have done, right? We need to have the input now, right? You know, if you see something that you feel is necessary and we can do something about it, let's do it now. Mm-hmm. Because 20 years from now, 30 years from now, it's too late.
And doing it now also includes getting ready for the whole local hiring piece. You know, build the ACLU and the Job Opportunities Task Force are all working on this local hiring. So we want to make sure that people have the information to be able to apply for the job so that they're ready and they know what the process is about. You know, the licensed contractors have a way in, and including unlicensed people, laborers, that there's that they're ready to fill out an application and that they're clean and that they'll show up for work. So now's the time to get involved with this.
Folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. Your thoughts, these are your schools, these are your communities. There's going to be a meeting this Saturday, November the 2nd, from 8:30 to 3 p.m. here at the Morgan State University Student Center on the Baltimore City Public Schools 21st Century Buildings Design Expo will be taking place here. Mm-hmm. You should join us here. There's free parking, child care, breakfast, and lunch will be provided. You can find out more about this at betterbuildings@bcps.k12.md.us. We'll have all that information on our website. But join us here now at 410-319-8888 to be part of that. But what you just said, I want to come back to the issue of community and how we define that when it comes to schools, because I think that we'll come back to the issue of jobs, because that's a huge issue, and I think that has mm-hmm. not been defined nor squared away. And if we're talking about possibly hundreds or thousands of jobs being created in construction, and the amounts of especially African-American men and women who don't have jobs in the city, this becomes a huge issue. But how do you define community in all this? When you talk about community schools, it's beyond parents and teachers.
Yep. It's everybody who has a stake in the school, with the school defined as really being a hub in the community. So it includes the teachers, it includes the staff, it includes the parents, it includes the students, very importantly. But it also includes the surrounding community residents, because this is the schools are key assets in community. So we've been very clear. That's what we want to have everybody involved in this. And to the degree that their neighborhoods haven't been connected to their schools, this is the time to really step up and do that, because the input is essential at this point in the process.
So I'm trying to get to this call quickly, if we can, at 410-319-8888 to join in this conversation with our folks in the school system. So what do you see the next steps? I mean, so how do people get engaged? I mean, how do we even know what communities are doing this? Where comes first? Who comes second?
We have our churches, right? You know, we have our community associations. We even have our nonprofits, right? You know, as well as some of our councilmen, you know, and we have to engage our clergy. We have to engage our community associations as well as our schools. We have to engage ourselves, you know, because it starts at home first. You know, the biggest awareness that I see in the school system right now is parents when they come out and they say, oh, I didn't know there was a PTO meeting. Oh, I didn't know Elevate had a meeting today. You know, oh, I forgot about so-and-so. Well, take a little time to understand that you have to jot things down so that we can remember. And right now, where we're going in the next 2 to 3 years, mm-hmm. it's going to be extremely important, not just for the children that are going to the school, but it's going to be extremely important for the community.
So, and the Baltimore Education Coalition and Transform Baltimore campaign, anyone can give us a call. We have a website, BEC for Our Kids. That's for the number four .org for our kids, and transformbaltimore.org. We have meetings posted, as well as the Baltimore City website.
Yeah, and everything, all the information about everything, the recommendation for every school, the calendar of the meetings, that's all on the Baltimore City Schools website, which is www.baltimorecityschools.org. But I really encourage people to look at that, see what questions you have. You can email the betterbuildings@bcps.k12.md.us, which you just mentioned, Mark, and we can really respond to any questions there. But there's a real commitment to being as transparent as we can possibly be on it. So really, all the information is there on that website.
And Mark, we're going to be a thorn as well. You know, we're partnering. We're partnering with the city school system, and we're working with community groups and parent groups in schools. But you know, we have to hold the city school system accountable for running a good engagement program, as well as the state and the Maryland Stadium Authority and the city. So, Michael, you're not off the hook.
Well, that's very good. The more people that are pushing, the better the process will be. I do want, before we end up finishing, we should really talk about the expo a little bit, because
people just called in about that. Okay. Want to know what? So do that before we have to take a break.
Okay. So this is going to be a day where people can come and get a lot of information from local experts, from national experts, see a lot of images, a lot of examples, and really get engaged in the process. And Frank, you want to walk through the different content areas that we'll?
Sure. So first, Michael said it wasn't about just the bricks and mortar. Really, this is about redefining teaching and learning. So if we aspire for kids to have 21st century jobs in STEM, you know, math and science and what have you, kids have to be prepared for that level of work. And so right now the direction of city schools is to overhaul teaching and learning. And in response to that, what does the design of the building look like? And what do the classrooms look like? Does it have integrated technology? Are there open classrooms where there's areas for kids to work collaboratively together in separate pods, or areas for kids to work on individual projects, research and project-based learning? Yes?
We just have to move.
So there's innovative innovative design, sustainability, community development, community engagement, and community schools. So what Mr. Bird was talking about in terms of what the school building, what the function of a school building is in a neighborhood.
And there are several workshops in each of those areas. So there would be a lot of information, a lot of really good people to hear and to talk with.
So again, people have been calling and asking how to get there. So it's at Morgan State University Student Center, 1700 East Cold Spring Lane, Baltimore, Maryland, here on campus, Saturday, November the 2nd. That's this Saturday, 8:30 to 3 p.m. And how to get in touch?
So you can call the you can email the betterbuildings@bcps.k12.md.us or call our office, which is 410-545-1870, with any information. We're thrilled to be doing this at Morgan because it's a great example of 21st century buildings and really an example of kind of the environment where our kids are headed. So we wanted to be ready.
All this information will be on our website as well.
And did we mention free food, right? Breakfast and lunch.
Breakfast and lunch. It's always a good thing to have.
And activities for children in the student center there.
So I want to thank you all for being here today. Good luck on Saturday. We look forward to continuing this conversation as we go down line with this. Michael Sarbanes is the Executive Director of the Office of Engagement for Baltimore City Public Schools. Mr. Timothy Bird, who is a parent at Dr. Rainer Brown Elementary Middle School, who is part of the design team for Fort Worthington. And Frank Patinello, who is Education Advocate at the American Civil Liberties Union and representative of the Baltimore Education Coalition. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Good luck to all of us for this.
Just like to say, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Let's come on out.
Come on out.
Once in a lifetime.
8:30 Saturday morning here at Morgan State University. We'll take a break and come back and meet the folks in the Open Society Institute celebrating 15 years of trying to change Baltimore. Stay with us.
Not talking about a year. No, not 3 or 4. I don't want that kind of forever in my life anymore. Forever always seems to be around when it begins, but forever never seems to be around.